shorting Acts 13 last week. And then I understood why about Sunday afternoon, because there's a punchline in that. And so I'm going to come back and pick that up and work off of that punchline out of, and we need some, it's interesting background. I am afraid that many people in the church almost believe that Christ had a house in Jerusalem and that he spent most of his time in Jerusalem. And really, Jerusalem was foreign turf to him. He did spend time there and in Judea. But as far as most of his time, obviously, when he was growing up and until his baptism by John the Baptizer to start his earthly ministry, which was 3.5 years long, he was up in the area of home called Nazareth. And Nazareth is a part of the province of Galilee. And so as we relate to these areas, we will be looking at some of this stuff on the east side. I'm sorry, I can't hang out that far. Okay. No, you're really not that privileged. Everybody else already has one. Okay. And so what I want to do today is get ourselves oriented as to how God in Christ's work used his home as a base for operations, in a sense. And did you get it when I read verse 33? I tried to read it slow, but sometimes I don't, and I could have probably done a better job reading it. In 13, actually 33, I want 31 is what I wanted. It says, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Notice how significant, the ones who observed him most were the delegation that came with him from Galilee. And what does it say? Who are his witnesses facing or unto the people? And so you see, Galilee of all things. And we got to talk about Galilee, and we will as we begin. Father, may you bless us as we study your word. We're thankful for the privileges we have when we are in it. We're thankful for the truths that are there and these truths that orient us to the way that you have done things and accomplished good things. And we're thankful that we have had a Galilean testimony concerning the fact that Christ was betrayed, was crucified, was buried, and how he was buried, how he rose again, and they provided a group of wonderful witnesses, and we appreciate it. May you guide us as we study your word by your spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Galilee. When we talk about Galilee, what are we talking about? In that map that I gave you, just because it says, Sea of Galilee, which we know it probably best as. And where it says, the one map that relates area around Galilee. In underneath that in Galilee, the Sea of Chenereth or the Sea of Gennesaret or the Lake of Gennesaret. These are titles that are used often outside of biblical literature, but when you see this, but we are so well aware. Yes, Galilee was a sea, but Galilee was also a region. It's interesting when you look at the name Galilee, It is a Hebrew word, and it comes from Hebrew origins, and it is, the Hebrew word is galal, 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 galal. Now, you get the gestures, probably not unless you were in Sunday school as a kid in the 50s. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, every burden of my heart rolled away. Okay, Kathy nods, she knows that one. Anybody else knows it? These action songs were important when we were young. And galal is the word to roll away. And so the idea is that region that is rolled out and around. This Galilee is a very interesting part of the world. If you had an opportunity and you were taking a tour of Israel, what would you prefer? Would you rather, I mean, for just the beauty of it, would you rather retire to Jerusalem or would you rather retire to Galilee? Okay, yeah, most of us, if you've been there ever see it, you'd want to go to Galilee. The hills are somewhat green. Jerusalem, you go almost any direction, you come to at least parts of what's called the Judean desert. And so it's not exactly the most conducive area for enjoyment. It's a very interesting place. But it's interesting with the presence of Jesus Christ when he came, those who had come with him to Jerusalem. I've got a lot of stuff in here just to make an impression that we're not going to look up. But I wanted to do it so you could get some sense about how important Galilee was. And when we understand it, we understand from Paul in this discussion with the Jews in the synagogue. And remember, maybe you didn't remember, look over in verse 14 of Acts 13. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Boy, how do you like the details there? Went to a specific location, to a specific place on a specific day, and they were there to sit down. And after reading the law and the prophets, now by that was the normal procedure. Read Torah and read the Haftorah. They didn't call it Haftorah in those days, but that was the prophets. The rulers of the synagogue said unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, say on. So they were invited to say, and so what happens? Paul stands up, and he uses some hand gestures, a good Jewish fella. He beckons them with his hand and said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. Listen to me, you men of Israel that fear God. The word fear is, you're right, phobos. These are God-fearers. He's looking for those who are concerned, the God of Israel. And then he gives a history of the Judaism, essentially, overview. I mean, he goes through the 40 years of coming into Canaan and all of this material, and you can follow it. It's an interesting discussion, but the focus is he builds and he builds and he builds, and finally he gets to the point of the resurrection, and he says, there are some special designated witnesses. And these witnesses came with Jesus from Galilee, and these witnesses were there to tell the people about it. And it's kind of interesting when we look at that 1 Corinthians 15 passage, which gives you a list of witnesses, the fact that most of them are from Galilee. When you look at the 12 witnesses that became 11, where did they come from? Christ selected his disciples from Galilee. Fishermen from Galilee. A tax collector from Galilee named Levi or Matthew. So he picked many. And so it's interesting, the description that we read in verse 13, 20, I couldn't resist it because I was wanted to say something about it because the translation is very interesting in 28. The Jews who accused Jesus could find no reason for him to die. And Paul is very blunt about it. Paul, the guy who stood on the sidelines when they stoned Stephen holding his coat, or the coats of them, he was not unhappy when somebody died for their anti-Jewish perspective. But he's very upfront. He said they had no reason to bring his death. And so he's very clear. And then, so what does it say? They ask Pilate. They tried everything they could to find it. Remember how they did it? The Jews even hired false witnesses. Sounds like they were a particular political party of that day. Anyway, they hired him to witness against him. Can you imagine this kind of religious leadership? And they did that. And then they asked Pilate that he would be, and it says be slain in the King James. It's a word for destroy. They would like to have seen him annihilated and erased from every history book and taken off the birth roll. They wanted to remove him completely, and Paul is very clear about that here. And then it's funny in 29. He's making a very strong point that is so interesting with his Jewish audience in Antioch. And when they had told that which was written of him, these guys thought they were out to get him, and then they fulfilled what Scripture said, and it backfired on them. They took him down from the tree. Interesting that they, and he said that, took him down from the cross, took him down from the tree. The word there is zulon. We won't go after that. Jehovah's Witnesses love that word, but it's interesting. And laid him, they laid him in a tomb. Interesting, the word tomb here, it's translated sepulcher, comes from the word memorial, a place of memory, menamion. It's always interesting when you realize when a place is identified as a cemetery. What is it talking about? It's a place of sleep. It's descriptive. What a shock we had in the last, wherever it was, when in New York, one of the powers that be said, there are going to be so many deaths from COVID, we're going to have temporary cemeteries in the parks. And we're going to have to dig trenches and put people's bodies or the caskets in graves in the parks. And New Yorkers were not too happy about that, though it was part of the whole panic. It gave them a few days to let it sink in, and then they refuted it. Because these special places of memory are not something a lot of people want to have next door. You don't realize in some societies, they'll bury somebody who dies in the front yard. I think it's still legal to do that in Oregon. I have no idea how many grave sites are around this valley. I do know how many are over there in the hill underneath those trees over that direction. Or I should say, I know that generally. I think we've got about 110 sites there. And so we have them recorded. I have, there are some I'm not sure about on it. But anyway, what happens? They took him from a tree, laid him in the tomb. And it's really interesting. You don't understand when I look at what we're going to talk about today a little bit. You realize there were some Galilean women that were witnesses to the burial of Jesus. They made a point of witnessing to make certain that he was buried. And from those very women, they showed up at the tomb, which was had the stone rolled away, and it was empty. And they had it all figured out because they were going to come back and finish the embalming process. And I'll show you that, but we'll see that verse in this list. But they came down from Galilee. Did they come down with the intention of being a mortuary group? No. It's just so interesting when we understand these people come a distance. What did I do with that map? I got this map. Internet does wonderful things. I just got off a website, and I thought I had a thing on it, and I don't. So I don't know whether it's got a copyright on it or not. This map is a map. I have a disease called dropsy. Anyway, this map is a very interesting map. And the reason I say it's interesting, I'm sorry for you on the internet, I was going to tell you, open your Bibles and look in the back. But I don't know those Bible maps. I have a Bible in my briefcase, and it would be almost worthless for what we're doing today. But this map has distances. And so go up to Nazareth. You see Nazareth over there in that map? From Nazareth to Shechem is 34 miles. Now, this is approximate. This is the way the crow flies. I'm sure it's the same kind of thing I have in a software that I can't use. And then from Shechem to Jerusalem is 31 miles. You can add that up. That's 65 miles, approximately by air miles, from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And then from there, 65 miles, you can go over to Capernaum, which is another 18 miles. And Capernaum would be 65, 70, 83 miles. You can see that up on the end of, so it's kind of an interesting little journey. When Jesus, he didn't go directly down. He kind of wandered around as you, we'll see some of this. But it's a distance, and it's a distance to have, for 12 guys, part of which were fishermen. Can you imagine Matthew hiking down that? The old tax collector, he probably didn't have to hike as much as the fisherman or have much physical labor. But anyway, they were hiking down with Jesus. But you know, the thing that is so significant in all of this is that their women came with Jesus, and they had a unique opportunity to relate to Jesus before he left, and they came with him down, doing the same kind of thing they had done up in Galilee. Now, I'm trying to give you a little bit of an idea of some interesting things when we understand it. It's interesting that Jesus had appeared, and this, we're dealing with appearances. Okay. One less elm beetle. That one was friendly. And so what happens here, you have, it's like Christ and the Godhead chose to select witnesses. Some people think that Galileans were a crude lot. They thought the fishermen were ignorant. Look at the case for Peter that some make. Peter couldn't have written 2 Peter because he was a fisherman. You know, he didn't have a PhD. Well, he did spend time, so far as we can tell, in that synagogue and being trained in Caesarea. So he knew something of the law. In fact, I think it was so inbred in him, God had to really work him over to get it out of his system. Because some of you remember when we were doing the series on the Petrines, how much he knew, and some of which he knew that Paul hadn't learned. And it's so interesting when we understand that very thing. in that circumstance. Okay, let me move on. He selects the witnesses, God does. And where do we get witnesses? You have five witnesses that we know for sure on Resurrection Sunday. He came out of the grave and there were five people that saw him. Two of those involved one lady named Mary Magdalene. Lord willing, we'll talk about her next week. And then there were other women that saw him as well. It's interesting. He wasn't seen by the disciples, so they saw the empty tomb. But he was seen by these women in resurrection morning. Then he ultimately was seen, and we will talk more about it. We had the reference to 40 days that we saw in Acts 1 last week. In 40 days, that gives us from Passover to 10 days before Pentecost. Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. And so, by the feast, we can learn what's going on. And I'm trying to move along. The more I try to move, the more I get stuck. In 40 days, he was in Jerusalem. He went to Galilee. And then he came back to Jerusalem to ascend. And so you have witnesses in all of that. It's interesting. I've often thought about these eyewitnesses. Where would I like to have set my sandals down with Jesus? I know all of them, yeah. But I've often thought it would have been so nice to be among the 12, that is, the 11, on the Mount of Olives as he led them down the Mount of Olives and he ascended. And what did they say? The angel shows up and says, "You men of, why stand ye looking?" What did I leave out? Galilee. "You men of Galilee." The Galileans and the disciples who stood and watched him ascend into a cloud and go back to heaven. And so it's interesting when we think of this. So they saw his ascension. We're going to take a little bit of time and we'll see how it works, if the Lord permits, to look at Stephen. He saw an appearance of Jesus that was phenomenal. He saw the Lord standing at the right hand when they stoned him. It was an appearance. Paul, everybody tends to think of Paul seeing Christ on the Damascus Road. It was interesting when you realize that when he saw Christ, he didn't see for a while afterwards. Remember, he was struck blind when he saw Christ. Did you realize that he spent 3 years in the wilderness being instructed by Christ? It's funny, I don't see many of that mention of that in many places. And so he had an awesome opportunity. Then John the Apostle will come back in. He's a great place to tie this third down when we get there in that matter. So let's go back to Acts 1 very quickly, just to mention one verse, and that's Acts 1:3. In Acts 1, this was last Sunday, we touched it, and it said, verse 3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs." He showed himself, and there was no question that the witnesses were verifiable, and they were true, and they were accurate. Such huge testimony was nearly overwhelming, and the word infallible proofs, well, it's really infallible, we'll call it proofs. We're seeing of them 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Interesting shift, isn't it? Christ preached the kingdom of God in Galilee. He went back to Galilee, and while there, he evidently was preaching the kingdom of God. There were 500 plus that saw him in Galilee, and we don't have an account of where that happened. It says so in 1 Corinthians 15. I think we'll spot it with the mountain experience, but it's an interesting situation. And so many infallible proofs. And so this group that came with Jesus, you have 12 guys, including Judas. They came down from Galilee as he made his way down. He came down with the intention of going to a feast before, it's interesting. God did this because there's some very important doctrine taught through it. But then you have women following him. It's fun to read the Greek. These women followed him. It uses an aorist at one point. You know, it also uses an imperfect tense. They were continually following him. We have some named, but some are not. And it's always interesting when we look at the names. And then there were others who tagged along. We don't know how many. But it was at least 20 that came with him. When you say that, you got 12, and you have the named women, there are 4, and then you have additional women. So it would seem they would be just about as many at least. And then there's this hint that there were others that came with him. And it's interesting. I love that word follower. They followed him to the end. When he said, meet me back in Galilee after he had been resurrected, I think there was a big movement back to Galilee. I think some women made some big tracks with little feet to get there to see Jesus. The disciples were more reluctant than I think those women were. Because they finally show up, and we have 2 appearances up there that are very clear, where you have him appearing to the 12, not 11, let's just use that term. 12 is the technical title. Judas is gone, so we know there are 11, but they're still called the 12. They were the 12 select ones. And so Thomas was there when he got up to Galilee. And remember Thomas, what a story. Then Christ said, you know, if you had just believed, you wouldn't have had to say all these crazy things to make you call the doubting Thomas. You know, if you had just believed, it's better for you to believe it than to have to feel my hands. But do you think he did? Do you think that he put his fingers in the nail prints and the hands, or shoved his hand into his side? I think he was being a little brusque, and as soon as Jesus said, here, put your fingers in my feet, my nail prints. And what does Thomas say? The Lord of me and the God of me. I mean, he just reacts I think he just said, oh, not me. And he just makes a very blunt statement. And I put the articles there so you can see them. In that matter. Okay, let's get a move on in order to get into this thing of Galilee. Christ was identified as the Galilean. And that takes us, and I'm just going to look at a couple. I'm going to pick passages. I did not design this material to go verse by verse, because if we did, we'd be here for 3 weeks. But in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69, he is identified as a Galilean. And it says, now Peter sat outside of the palace, or out in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou wast also with Jesus of Galilee. And I have other passages mentioned here. Luke 23 does. I've got a couple of passages out of Mark and other. The Galilean. Primary cities in Galilee in which he lived, one was Nazareth. You look at the map of just the Galilee area, you'll see it over to the left of the map. If I can find my map, there it is. And if you look over to the left, at about two-thirds of the way down, it's down here in Galilee. I mean, Nazareth, pardon me. So you have Nazareth is over there. Now you see, it is not on the shores of the Dead Sea, of the Dead Sea, come on, the Sea of Galilee. It's a distance away. It's interesting. When I get a map, I'm in trouble. That just gets me in trouble. And so he was raised there in Nazareth. In Matthew 21:11, he's called the Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. It says in Mark 1:9, he came from Nazareth. It says he was from a city of Galilee named Nazareth in Luke 2:4. So you see, this was identified with him. And in Matthew 23, and I can't resist this, in Matthew 2:23, it's kind of interesting that the Greek words that relate to Nazareth. Come on. I've got to find it. My fingers are not working any better. 2:23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Nazarene is not somebody who has a Nazarite vow. A Nazarene is somebody from Nazareth. Okay. I've heard so many people, many years ago, I had that impression made on me that he had the Nazarite vow, so he was, that's why he was so holy. No, he didn't need that. He didn't need it at all. And that didn't work. Now, in the notes, I have the word Nazareth has three different spellings in the text. Nazareth is found twice. Nazarenos is found four times. Nazarios is found 13 times, all tied to with Jesus tied to each one. So we have 19 occurrences of words that describe Nazareth, and it's just the way they're ended. I put it in here because I thought it was fun. It's frustrating when you keep finding words that you didn't count to begin with. The 12 disciples were from Galilee. I referred to Acts 1:11 when the angel said, "You men of Galilee." Let's read it. Acts 1:11. So we can just see it. You had, they looked steadfastly up to heaven, and two men in white apparel showed up in verse 10, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So he calls them men of Galilee. Kind of interesting. I think it was very accurate. It didn't say they're men of Nazareth. They were the province of Galilee. Some were from different parts of Galilee. And so what happened in Christ's ministry, Christ was very active in Galilee. Just a couple passages, and I put them in here because I intended to look at them on the way through. And that's Matthew 4 and 23. This is back early. And okay, these long chapters in Matthew always slow me down if I'm on my way through. Okay, 4:23 says, "And Jesus went about all of Galilee." Okay, when you look at this word idea, "went about" is peri. He went around. He wandered all over. There's a lot of interesting questions. There were cities and villages. Let's read. His teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him the sick people that were taken with many diseases or various diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of demons, and those which were lunatic. It's the word lunatic, of course, comes from moonsmitten. That's okay, that'll work. And those that had palsy, they were paralyzed. Our word paralyzed comes from that verb. And he healed them, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee. And if you're looking at that map, and Decapolis, you see that's down south of Galilee in the Galilee region map, and from Jerusalem. They came clear up from Jerusalem. They hiked up there to Jesus from Judea, which is a province in the middle, and beyond Jordan. That is over what would be called Perea. So he had quite an interesting ministry in Galilee. It was great for the tourist trade in Galilee. People came from all over. Had to find places to hang out, to be with Jesus because of what he did. Luke 4. As a parallel concepts here, and I want to read that as well because it gives us some sense of how he emphasized his preaching of the kingdom and the kingdom of ultimately the kingdom of God. But 4:43 says, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore I am sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Interesting when you see this. His emphasis was in this ministry of Galilee. And he was there. I put approximate. These numbers I put in. Depends on which harmony you use. About 22 months plus. I say plus. He went back more than once. And so 22 months is like 2 years out of a 3.5 year ministry almost. But by the time you add it up, he probably was probably 2.5 of the 3.5 years was strictly in Galilee. Now, what I've done on Romans 2, and you say, well, what about the scripture? He began his ministry there. He got his first disciples. It took him a little while to build his disciples class. His first miracle was performed in Cana. Now, if you want to see where Cana is, go find Nazareth and go up the road. And there's a question mark as to whether it's Cana or not. You go up the road by Nazareth, and it's Cana with a question mark. It's about what? Well, let's look at the other. I think we can. No, it's not that way here. It's not set up that way. Okay, but it's not very far. But we don't know for sure. and that was his first miracle. What was it? Changing the water to wine? What is his first miracle? Cana is, this traditional site has a big church, or it has two churches on this little narrow street, and it's all pomp and circumstance. They don't know for sure whether that's the Cana. That's why there's a question mark on that map. And so anyway, he had the first miracles. He sojourned in Capernaum. Now, we don't know what he did. Whether some suggest he stayed with Peter. What we do know is that ultimately his mother and his brothers sojourned for some time in Cana, in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is up toward the end of the Sea of Galilee. A very, very interesting location, if that is the right location. There is a synagogue there. There is a church, which is kind of funny because it's very modern, on the site of, so-called, Peter's home. Kathy was talking about how much space they were taking, sort of. I mean, more people, how did these people all crowd? Well, you look at Peter's, what they call Peter's home. I think it was three or four rooms, and it was not much bigger than my, not even as big as my living room. They were just packed like sardines in that. That's the way they lived on it. If that, I mean, that is a ruin, and it's a tradition in that matter. It was funny. If that's excited Caesarea, that synagogue could have been the synagogue where Jesus had been, but probably a little later date on it. And so he left, went down to Judea. He was in Jerusalem. He went through Samaria a very short time. He had a long time at Galilee. He came, made sure he had his dozen, his 12. Then he went to northern Galilee before he ends up going to Jerusalem. You have some Judean ministry. It's just what I did is put this here. He pretty much hung around Galilee and those towns in Galilee. Now, when you look at that, that's one reason I thought the map was fun. Now, these are more modern, but they say Galilee in the time of Christ, whoever did this. But you look around and you see all these little towns. Somebody said there are about 250 towns and cities. And he went around and saw many of them. Was it a privilege to live in Galilee? They had no idea how big a privilege it was. The offer of the kingdom of God, that is salvation. Think about it. The one who was in the Holy of Holies in the Temple of Jerusalem, who had exited the Temple of Jerusalem in his residency at the end of Ezekiel, was up in the land of Galilee where they spoke a different kind of language and were a coarser group of people. And so the one who was between the cherubim was actively ministering up there. What a privilege. It's just amazing, isn't it? When you start thinking about it. Now, he was somewhat reluctant to leave Galilee. In his divine nature, he knew what was coming, and there was a problem, I think, between the two natures. Because he didn't really want to face the hour and the cup. We can see that when we get to Gethsemane. But look in John 7. John 7, and I'm going to read this section because it's important. Now when he had ended his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Okay, so we have that on the map. Certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Then when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. In other words, this servant and this centurion is Roman. He said, because this centurion loved the nation and he's built us a synagogue, we kind of owe him. He built a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. I'm not worthy. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Don't come into my house. You don't have to lay your hands. You can say one word and you'll be healed. Interesting. Roman faith in Galilee. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I go. I say unto one, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about, and said unto the people that followed him. He had a crowd with him. and a bunch of people. I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. I can't resist 10. And they that were sent returning unto the house found the servant whole, healthy from being sick. Interesting what it says to us here. And I use this as a pivot because when Christ was in Galilee, it was very much a mixed racial area. You had here Romans. Whether this was a Jewish servant, we do not know. Because back historically, before the time of Christ, you know what it was called? Galilee was called Galilee of the Nations. It was a mix. The province of Galilee butted up on the province of Syria. So we had mention of that. And so what happens, he is staying there in, and he goes to Capernaum. He's very active. And that's Luke I was reading, by the way, which just happens to work nicely because you got Capernaum. Let's go over to John 7 and we'll get the other part of it. I'm looking for the Jews. He's up there because they're out to kill him. And let's just read verse 1. John 7, verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not desire to walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. His brothers, who didn't believe in him, and how do I know? Because verse 5 says they didn't, wanted him to go to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage feast, and he did not want to go. He ultimately did in secret. You can see that in verse 10 when he did go. But they were out to get him, and he knew it. In Matthew 17, he said, they're going to kill me. When I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to go there to die, and I know it. And what did they say? I didn't hear anything. They didn't hear anything. They didn't get it. Couldn't have been more blunt. We can read that out of Matthew 17. And so he departs from Galilee. And since I'm open to John 7, it says, but when his brethren were gone up, then also he went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. And the Jews were looking for him in the feast. And why? They wanted to kill him. And so he ends up departing. Matthew 19 talks about his departure, verses 1 and 2. 19, 1 and 2. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coasts or borders of Judea beyond Jordan. In other words, he went across the Jordan River over into what would be called Jordan today. Transjordan is the way it used to be called before they named it a country. And so he goes, but he goes with a bit of a retinue. He'd been preaching the kingdom of God throughout the kingdom, throughout Galilee. They had some sense. And let me read Luke 8:1 because it does... it says what I wanted to say because it distinguishes in sizes of communities. In Luke 8:1, it says, and it came to be afterward, he went throughout every city and village. Bigger communities, smaller communities, preaching and showing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And so there's our setup. Let's read on. Because here we start getting involved with these women that believed and what happened to them. This is an amazing account. And certain women, the Greek here is very clean and making no distinction, making the distinction between men and women. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and illnesses. They've been healed by Jesus. evil spirits, that is, Paneiros spirits. They were malignantly evil spirits, and I have that under B. And sicknesses. They say infirmities in the AV. It's sicknesses. No, it is not a Granville Sharp. They're two different things here. And he starts the list. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven demons. Mary of Magdalene. Magdalene, Magdala, look at the Sea of Galilee, and you see where it kind of dimples to the west? Right there is Magdala. See it? That's where she was from. How far was she from Capernaum? Not far. Jesus had ministers throughout that area, and that's where she came from. And we'll talk more about her, Lord willing, next Sunday. And so, Mary of Magdalene, then Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the steward of Herod. Steward is not like the steward of the of a stewardship. This is a different word for steward. It's not a house law guy. This is just somebody that was appointed over things. He could have been a second in command even. But anyway, Herod, who was Herod, of course, he was a leader. This is probably related to maybe Herod the Great. We're not quite sure which Herod because of time on it. Then you have Susanna. Old Susanna. I dare say that's probably where that came from. I mean, that word was picked up. All these biblical names, I have fun looking at them. Just look at all the people I know, or some I know. And many other females. The others is a feminine plural. Which ministered to them with their substance. The word minister is the word diakonao, which is a word to minister. It's a word for deacon, but here they ministered to him in his physical needs. And when they were ministering to him, let me get my text because I have it here. It's an imperfect tense verb. They continually were ministering to him. It wasn't that they owed Jesus necessarily, but they knew because of what he did for them who he was. And so they were willing to just continue. And some people say, well, these are wealthy women. I'm not so sure that they were so wealthy. The word that's translated substance is huparkon, which has the idea of possessions. They shared their possessions with Jesus, and it says them, and the 12. And so they had a role in caring for Jesus that's somewhat unique, these Galilean women. And so, I'm going to stop. I've got to shift here so I can get closer to the end. Many of the women were intently looking at him on the cross. Matthew 4:27. Now I'm going back to the women's subject. That's where we're going to trace this, and I'll try to get it out quickly. In this Matthew 27:55-56. 27:55-56. They've gone to Jerusalem with him. We'll see this. 27:55 is right next door. Okay. And many women were there beholding afar off. The distance away. They didn't want to be that close to see him crucified. They didn't want to be that close to see the anguish of a cross death. And it says they were far off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. These, you can identify them, there's no question. These had followed him. And they had been ministering unto him to see their name. Among which was continually, it's an imperfect verb, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, or Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Who were the sons of Zebedee? Well, James and John. The mother came with two of the twelve. When you start thinking about these things, it's kind of quite a beautiful picture. It says they came. And so you have that picture. They were afar off in Mark chapter 15, verses 40 and 41. Mark chapter 15 and 41. It says, there were also women looking afar off. This word looking is the word thatarato, which is the intently look upon, some will say gaze, from afar off. Among them was who? Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, or Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him. That's an aorist. And ministered, another aorist, to him, unto him. And many other women came up with him unto Jerusalem. Look at the many other. Palai, might be a feminine form. Many others came along with him. And so you see, these were people who were there so they could be a witness to appearances. And I suspect that maybe some of these women were part of the 500 that we have mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. And so they were looking upon him and paying close attention. I read that verse, so I don't need to go there. I'm trying to get to the, well, we'll get the last two here. Luke 23. Luke 23 is an interesting one because it gives you a hint as to some of these people that have come with Jesus. And Luke 23 in verse 49. It says, oops, what do I want? 23:49. That's right. I just was looking in the wrong verse. All his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood far off, beholding these things. The word that translates his acquaintance comes from Gnosto, that were experientially known to him. In this case, it's kind of interesting because the form is a masculine, that were known ones. Boy, it's easy. We're with him. They were with the women. There was this little delegation from Galilee that had come with Jesus that didn't want to be real close to the cross because it hurt. And they stayed some distance. And it wasn't just women. And so there they were, and they had followed him, and they were beholding these things. They were looking at these things. They saw what was going on. This is hurrah of that verb. Now let's go down to 55 and we'll tie this out. Verse 55. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the tomb and how his body was laid. These women were going to make sure that that body of their Savior was treated well. And it says, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. They saw, they were witnesses to his entombment. Interesting, we don't have that emphasized except here in the New Testament. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were involved in burying, putting him in that tomb, in the tomb of Joseph. and the women stood at a distance and watched carefully to make sure he was in the grave. And I dare say they didn't leave until they heard the stone roll over the dead door. They watched. To me, it's a description of intimacy. It's a description of tremendous pain. They wanted to be with Jesus. These appearances that we're going to be looking at in this series are appearances that tell you he was God. He offered a legitimate kingdom. They thought it was going to come today. When he saw him as resurrected in there, they kept bringing it back up. They were determined. And these women had no idea, and no wisdom, how much it involved the kingdom of God. When they came through, and I think every one of these people that came with him from Galilee made it through Pentecost. And they got involved in the kingdom of which we are a part of, the kingdom of God. No idea. Galilee. Rough of speech. You are a Galilean. You sound like a Galilean, Peter. You're kind of crude. You need to put a tux on now and then. Your hands are rough because they're workmen's hands. And God chose to work through this group of people and put Jesus in the midst of them, though he deserved a throne in a palace in Jerusalem. He put them up in Galilee. And look at the benefits that came to Galilee. The kingdom. Jerusalem. They didn't want nothing to do with it. Honestly, very few Jews in the north did. Remember what happened in Nazareth? Remember why he moved to Capernaum? He was preaching in the synagogue in Nazareth. Read from the Isaiah scroll. Stopped in the middle of a verse. And they got irate with him and were escorting him out of the city so they could throw him off a cliff nearby. Remember the response, how it worked? I love it. They were escorting him. They were all just mashing their teeth to get out there and kill him. He just walked right through them and they didn't even know it. What a beautiful picture. That's our Lord. So we're headed that direction. We're going to have a little bit more to say about Mary Magdalene. These are long. There's some fun sections, and I'm trying to squeeze them in. It doesn't hurt to fold your maps up, put them in your Bible, because they'll probably be referring to some of these along the line. In this series. May you bless us, Father, as we continue in this day. Thank you for what Christ has gone through and for the information we have. We're thankful to you for the region of Galilee and the wonderful seed that was sown in his ministry there to demonstrate his deity. The signs he did, the miracles, tell so much. And we thank you for this revelation. In Christ's name, amen.